Welcome to the deep dive. We take your sources today. It's quite a dense academic paper, and really pull out the most important, those interesting bits for you.
And this is all geared towards you, the learner, someone who wants to understand complex stuff, you know, quickly, thoroughly, maybe find some surprising facts, but definitely wants to skip the information overload.
Exactly. So today we're digging into comparison principle for stochastic heat equation on R by Le Chen and Jingyu Huang. This is the paper you shared.
Right.
And your mission really is to grasp the core concepts without getting totally swamped by the heavy mathematics. We're here to sort of guide you through it.
Okay, so this paper, at its core, it's looking at a specific kind of math equation, a nonlinear stochastic heat equation. Sounds like a mouthful.
It does.
But it's asking, well, a pretty intuitive question, actually. If you have two situations, maybe like two temperature maps, and one starts out consistently hotter than the other,
okay,
does that relationship, that order, hold up over time, even when you throw in some randomness?
Ah, the randomness. That's the stochastic part.
That's the stochastic part. And it also looks at positivity if something starts positive, like a temperature above absolute zero, does it stay positive? Lots to unpack.
Okay, let's start there then. Stochastic heat equation.
Yeah.
In like simple terms, forget the symbols for a moment. What are we picturing?
Well, think about heat spreading, you know, like in a metal rod. Hot goes to cold. That's the basic heat equation.
Right, diffusion.
Exactly, diffusion. Now, stochastic means we add randomness. Imagine the metal isn't perfectly uniform, or there are tiny random energy fluctuations happening inside it.
Okay.
So the heat doesn't spread perfectly smoothly. There are these little unpredictable wobbles on top of the main flow. The equation tries to capture both the smooth spreading and those random wiggles.
Got it. Heat flow plus random noise. So the paper focuses on this comparison principle. What's the gut feeling behind that?
It really boils down to order. If you start with two temperature profiles, say profile A is always less than or equal to profile B at every single point.
Okay, like a baseline and a hotter one.
Precisely. Does profile A stay less than or equal to profile B as time goes on, even with all those random fluctuations we just talked about? That's the comparison principle in a nutshell. Does the initial order persist?
Makes sense. Now, they mention rough initial data and measure-valued initial data. Why does that matter? Why not just start with smooth, simple temperatures?
Well, because the real world is messy, isn't it? Initial conditions, whether it's temperature, population density, or whatever you're modeling, they're often not nice, smooth curves.
Right. Think of, like, pollution suddenly dumped in one spot. That's not smooth.
Exactly. Or just very complex initial patterns. Rough data or measure-valued data lets the maths handle these more realistic, less perfect starting points. It makes the findings more robust, more applicable if they hold up even for these messy beginnings.
Okay, and the equation has this noise term. It's described, let me see, spatially homogeneous Gaussian noise that is white in time and homogeneously colored in space. Whoa! Let's break that down.
Okay, yeah, sounds intimidating, but we can decode it. Gaussian just means the randomness follows a standard bell curve distribution at any point if you looked at it many times. Pretty standard for noise.
Okay. Bell curve randomness.
Then, white in time. Think of it like coin flips happening independently every instant. What happens now doesn't depend on what happened a moment ago. The randomness is uncorrelated in time.
Right. No memory in the time randomness.
Exactly. Now, homogeneously colored in space. This is about spatial correlation. Homogeneous means the correlation structure is the same everywhere. If you look at how random fluctuations at point X relate to fluctuations at point Y, that relationship depends only on the distance between X and Y, not where X and Y are.
So the texture of the spatial randomness is uniform across the whole space.
That's a great way to put it. The spatial texture is the same everywhere. Colored just means there is some spatial correlation, unlike white noise, which would be totally uncorrelated in space too. This noise has some spatial structure.
Okay, that's clear. Gaussian, independent in time, uniform spatial correlations. Got it. Now, the paper talks about weak versus strong comparison. What's the difference there?
Good question. They sound similar, but there's a key distinction. Weak comparison means if you start with A less than or equal to B, then A will remain less than or equal to B later on with probability 1. So it's almost certain.
Almost certain.
Strong comparison is, well, stronger. If you start with A strictly less than B, Not just less than or equal, but definitely smaller.
Like really colder.
Yeah, maybe everywhere, maybe just somewhere initially.
Mm-hmm.
The principle then asks, if A stays strictly less than B at all times and all locations, again, with probability one, it's a much more demanding condition. It rules out them ever becoming equal anywhere.
I see. So weak allows for them to potentially touch. Strong keeps them strictly separated.
Essentially, yes. That's a good way to think about it.
And what about strict positivity? Why investigate that specifically?
Well, think about things that physically can't be negative. Temperature above absolute zero, or maybe population density.
Can't have negative rabbits in a field.
Exactly. So if you start with an initial condition that's non-negative zero or positive everywhere, does the solution remain strictly greater than zero for all positive times? Does it avoid hitting zero if it didn't start there?
So it's about preventing extinction in a way for population models,
mm.
or staying physically realistic for temperature.
Precisely. It's ensuring the model behaves in a way that makes sense for the quantities it's supposed to represent.
Now, you mentioned this builds on earlier work. Mueller, the parabolic Anderson model,
yeah.
PM. How does this fit into that research landscape?
Right. Science isn't done in a vacuum. Mueller did foundational work, often looking at simpler cases, maybe one dimension, specific noise types. PM, the parabolic Anderson model, is basically the linear version of this kind of equation.
Simpler math.
Simpler math, yeah. Often used for things like population dynamics in random environments. This paper by Chen and Huang tackles the nonlinear version, which is mathematically harder in multiple dimensions, and allows for this more general noise and rougher initial data. So it's extending those foundational ideas to more complex, arguably more realistic scenarios.
So pushing the boundaries. Now, these conditions on the noise's spectral measure, DeLange's condition, the stronger condition, why are these technical conditions so important?
They're crucial because they define the limits of the randomness the system can handle. The spectral measure basically describes how the energy of the noise is distributed across different spatial frequencies, like how rough or smooth the randomness is.
Okay.
DeLange's condition, where this parameter is zero, is sort of the entry ticket. If your noise is rougher than that, the equation might just blow up. You might not even have a solution. It's a fundamental threshold for existence.
So step one, make sure the equation even works with this noise.
Exactly. But then the stronger condition they look at, where O is between 0 and 1, relates to more refined properties. They find you need this nicer, less rough noise to guarantee things like the solution being continuous, smooth in a sense, and also for that strong comparison principle to hold.
Oh, so the type of randomness really dictates the behavior. Just having a solution isn't enough for the stricter properties.
Precisely. The roughness of the noise matters a lot for how well-behaved the solution is and whether that strict ordering holds.
And finally, they mention Holder continuity. What does that tell us practically?
Holder continuity is a mathematical way to measure smoothness. A function that's Holder continuous can't wiggle too wildly between nearby points.
So it limits how steep the changes can be.
Yes, exactly. It quantifies the regularity. For the heat equation solution, it tells you how smoothly the temperature, or whatever you represents, changes as you move a little bit in space or a little bit in time. Higher Holder continuity means a smoother, more predictable evolution, even with the noise.
Okay, great. We've covered a lot of ground. So let's pull it together. What are the main takeaways from Chen and Huang's work here?
Well, the big thing is they pin down the conditions needed for these comparison principles in this quite general setting, nonlinear equation, rough data, multi-dimensions. They show DeLange's condition, the basic existence one, is enough for weak comparison and for non-negativity to be preserved.
Okay, the baseline works for the basic ordering.
Right. But, crucially, for the strong comparison keeping things strictly separated and for strict positivity staying definitely above zero, you need that stronger condition on the noise. The noise has to be less rough, more spatially correlated in a certain way.
So what's the significance for you, the learner? Why should you care about these specific mathematical conditions?
Because it gives you insight into how order and fundamental properties, like positivity, can survive or even thrive in systems buffeted by randomness. It shows that even complex, noisy systems can have predictable aspects if the noise has the right characteristics.
Right. It's not just chaos. There are rules, depending on the type of randomness.
Exactly. And understanding the difference between weak and strong comparison or non-negativity versus strict positivity gives you a more nuanced toolkit for thinking about how these systems behave. It matters for modeling anything from, say, ecological systems to maybe even financial models where you have diffusion and randomness interacting.
Was there a particular aha moment for you digging into this?
I think for me, it was really seeing that clear link between the regularity of the noise, like needing that stronger condition, and the regularity of the solution's properties, like continuity and strong comparison. It just highlights how deeply the nature of the randomness influences not just if something happens, but how predictably and robustly it happens. It's not just noise, it's the kind of noise.
Makes sense. Now, we skirted around the heavy math,
yeah,
but they use tools like moment bounds, Holder regularity estimates. Mm. Why are these necessary? Just briefly.
Ah, they're the tools of the trade for making these claims rigorous. Moment bounds help control the size and average behavior of the solution. Holder estimates, as we discussed, quantify the smoothness. You need these technical tools to build rigorous mathematical proofs, to go from the intuitive idea order should persist to a statement you can be mathematically certain about under specific conditions.
They provide the mathematical backbone.
Exactly. The certainty.
Okay, this has been really illuminating. To wrap up, let's leave you, the learner, with a final thought to chew on.
Yeah, think about other systems you encounter. Maybe information spreading online, disease transmission, even the way opinions shift in a population. These often involve some kind of diffusion or spreading, plus lots of unpredictable random influences.
Right, things don't spread evenly or predictably.
Not at all. So ask yourself, how might these ideas of comparison apply? Could one piece of information consistently stay ahead of another? Under what conditions? Would it be a weak comparison, likely to stay ahead, or a strong one, guaranteed to stay strictly ahead?
And what about positivity? Like, does an opinion, once it exists, ever truly vanish back to zero?
Good question. And crucially, what might the noise look like in those systems? Is it like the white in time noise here, or does it have memory? Does it have spatial correlations? Thinking about the nature of the randomness, as this paper shows, might tell you a lot about how predictable or orderly those complex real-world systems can actually be. It's a framework for thinking.